What Are You, Dean Winchester? Written by Masuina and recorded by Tipsy Kitty. Fandom Supernatural. Dean was angry. This was not how his life was supposed to go. Being a walking blood bag for a strange lone vampire that had a crush on him was not how Dean Winchester would go out. Especially not with a vampire who was completely infatuated with him and coddled him like a princess. To add insult to his pride as a hunter, the vampire acted on his own. No clan, no maker, a complete loner. And still, he outwitted and overpowered Dean at every corner. He was under no illusion that the vamp actually cared about his well-being, but rather that he needed to be kept alive to feed him on an ongoing basis. When he started trying to talk the vamp into letting him go, infuriating the immortal in the process, it earned him a knotted bandana gag that was changed out every couple of hours like clockwork for hygiene reasons. Leave it to Dean to be captured by the most considerate bloodsucker out there. Sam wouldn't have a clue where to even start looking for Dean, because this fucker literally up and grabbed him out the back door of the bar they were at and flew away with Dean clasped to his chest. Flying vamps were not something they'd ever come across before. Dean ultimately passed out from how tightly the monster was holding him, and from being so high up in the sky. When he came to, he was bound hand and foot. Not some haphazard rope job or handcuffs either. No, actual leather manacles around his ankles, with D-rings joined by padlocks which hobbled his gait substantially. His hands were held securely behind his back with similar bindings. "If you wanted to get kinky, you could have just asked me," Dean joked when he had a few seconds to get his bearings. The young man in his 20s crossed the room far faster than Dean's still slightly blurry vision could process, and had his throat cradled in his hand, affectionate like a lover's touch. "What on earth are you, Hunter? Don't think I don't recognize the tattoo and the weaponry you had on you." "All human, hotshot," Dean barked back. The vampire leaned in close, tilted Dean's head to the side, and took a big inhale, followed by a shuddering exhale. The subsequent, deeply aroused moan before he licked a long stripe up the side of Dean's neck weirded Dean out a touch. "Well, hey, no judgment, but I don't bat for your..." Dean's joke died on his lips as he held himself very still when he could feel the scrape of fangs and the softer touch of the vampire's lips on the side of his throat. He felt like prey in the most primal way, and within seconds, the bite he feared came. Vicious and deep at first, but not into his jugular as his captor drank his fill while undulating his body against Dean's. It left Dean weak and dizzy, held up off the floor by the vampire as he drank his fill before he settled Dean back down. "You taste like ambrosia, the sun and the moon, and everything in between. What are you? Tell me, gorgeous." The creature's voice was like a soothing summer breeze that rolled across Dean's skin before he shook his head to clear it. "I'll be dead if you keep going on like this, you son of a bitch," Dean groused with no heat as he felt the vampire card gentle fingers through his hair, a touch that sent a shiver down Dean's back with how wrong it felt. "Look at me, Hunter." Dean raised his eyes, his defenses lower than he'd thought, and locked eyes. If it weren't for the undead part, he could appreciate the kid for his looks. Strong jawline, symmetrical face with dark brown hair, and amber-colored eyes that seemed to glow in the near dark of the room. He could feel the creature prod at him, try to send tendrils of power into his head, but it was as if they kept sliding off, missing their mark. "That tickles." "Go to sleep," the vampire demanded out loud, accompanied by a renewed attack on Dean's hippocampus, like someone was giving him a brain massage with invisible fingers. A slight pressure, and it was more from blood loss than any successful brainwashing on the part of the vampire, that Dean fell asleep nearly on the spot. When he woke up next, it was dark in the room, and he was on his own. He waited for his eyes to adjust before making a move to try and find something, anything, to help him get rid of the locked wrist and ankle restraints he was in. Walking was barely an option as his stride length was reduced to a couple of inches. At least he could see his wrists, because the vampire must have repositioned his hands to his front while he was sleeping. Dean replayed the conversation with the vampire in his head, trying to gather as much from it as he could. Twilight tried to do some sort of mind control on him, not something any vamp they'd come across had ever done before. Whatever the vamp had tried, Dean was quite sure it hadn't worked on him. And then there was the vamp's agitated way of demanding what Dean was, and that just hurt his brain even more. He could feel that his body was still recovering from the blood loss, brain not quite firing on all cylinders. He looked around the room, clearly a barn of some sort, and had just started trying to saw off the leather around his wrists on the sharp edge of an axe when he heard a commotion outside. If the vampire left him free to run and unattached to anything, clearly he thought that Dean wouldn't leave for some reason. Playing possum was the way to go. He stashed the axe in what he hoped was a handy spot for future use near his sleeping spot, which consisted of a stack of blankets over top of a bed of straw that was surprisingly comfortable. Dean lay back down, pretending to be asleep. Pretense became impossible when he heard Sam's desperate call. "Dean! Dean! Wake up! Let me..." was all that Dean heard. He wondered if he could risk just squinting his eyes open a smidge, but didn't want to risk it. If the vamp had Sam, and Sam didn't have the upper hand, not being the vamp's center of attention would be better strategically. A fight unfolded beside him. There was a mix of grunts and groans from both the vampire and Sam, until suddenly everything went quiet. Dean couldn't help himself and took a peek, immediately wishing that he hadn't. Sam was beneath the vampire, his strong arms pinned against his torso by the vamp's thighs that straddled him. The vamp had one palm splayed out on Sam's heaving chest, pushing him down into the dusty floorboards, and his other hand across Sam's mouth as he looked down at him intently. Sam's body was tense, in full fight-or-flight mode, Dean could tell, every muscle engaged in that tall body of his. "Stop fighting me, human. You're mine, and you'll do exactly as I say." Dean watched as Sam's struggles stopped immediately. The tension in his forehead went away, and the muffled sounds against the vampire's hand quieted down. It was like someone cut the strings on Sam's free will, leaving him an obedient and docile puppet to be commanded by the vamp. "There's a good boy. Now, tell me what your brother is." Dean watched with bated breath as Sam smacked his lips, looking up at the vampire with what seemed like adoration, and answered, "He's human. He's my big brother Dean. He's the vessel for the Archangel Michael. But that battle is over." "What else?" "I love him. Always have. More than I should. Had a crush on him since I first got myself off watching him with that chick across the room in Wichita. But he's my brother. I can never tell him. He's been more my father than our real father ever has. He raised me, made me who I am." "Sleep." Dean couldn't hold back the shocked gasp when Sam did exactly that. He followed the vampire's request without a second's hesitation. The whole scene made Dean sick to his stomach. He quickly relaxed his own body, pretending to be asleep once more. "I can hear the change in your heartbeat, Dean. Your breathing pattern and that pulse just fluttering away at all the news you just heard. So, if you want your brother to stay alive, tell me what makes you different." Mr. 20 Questions pulled the bandana off so Dean could answer. "My boyish charm and good looks." The vampire slapped him hard, sending his head flying to the side, blood from his now-split lip flooding his taste buds before he spat it out in a red splat on the barn floor. "Always with the jokes. I have half a mind to cut out your tongue if you keep this up. After all, a living blood donor doesn't require speech. Your brother isn't the same. I hoped he was. That's why I brought him here." "Do you really think bringing us both here is a good idea?" Dean asked, not joking this time. He had to believe that Sam had a plan and was just playing along. The kid had demonic mind powers. Surely a brainwashing vamp couldn't beat him. "He's my little gopher, Dean. completely and utterly under my command, in case you haven't noticed. You see, I could tie you down and cage you, or do whatever else I need to do to keep you from escaping. But as long as I have him, you'll do exactly what I say, won't you? You're delusional. Aw, you'd like to think that, wouldn't you, handsome? The Winchester brothers are notorious, known for their roles in the conflict between heaven and hell, and renowned for being martyrs for one another. You never leave each other behind, no matter the cost to others or the world. Dean pursed his lips into a hard line, anger simmering in his gut at being laid bare so casually and accurately.
What do you want from us? You say I'm special somehow? Then let Sam go. You know I'd do anything to keep him safe if you know us so well.
Your blood. You really aren't that smart, huh? Bet Sammy's the one with the brains.
Let him go, you son of a...
Watch that mouth, blood bag. The vampire gripped Dean's jaw hard. It felt like he was a smidge away from breaking or dislocating it, his grip like hardened steel. Dean glared daggers at him as he waited for the monologue to continue. I've glamored him with very specific rules and orders. If you try to escape, he'll lay you out. If you set even one toe out the door or window, he will kill you with his bare hands. And we both know that he's capable of that. It really is a shame that your brother isn't like you. If anything, he has notes of sulfur and brimstone flowing through his blood. You truly are a wondrous pair. Hot and feisty, just as I like my men.
Sorry, pal, but neither Sam or I likes your kind. And I'm not even talking about your gender. No judgment from me, but if you want to live to see another century, you better let us go right now.
The vamp's hand moved lower, covering the front of Dean's throat and pressing in hard. Dean gasped for air and wasn't getting any. Could feel his body react and pull at the restraints before his vision started going spotty around the edges.
Gag him, Sam. Make sure Dean's locked down. I don't want to have to hunt him down and kill him. He's the best-tasting snack food I've ever had in my entire existence.
When you're done with him, shackle yourself with that leg iron over there. Dean was fading fast. For the first time since all of this started, he realized that they may actually be in serious trouble, because as soon as the vampire let him go, Sam was there.
I'm not...
Dean struggled against the knotted bandana Sam shoved in between his lips and tied at the back of his head, voice muffled but not entirely silenced, just distracting enough to be annoying. Sam looked at him apathetically, like nobody was home, at least nobody who cared, as he pragmatically checked the spacing of the gag against Dean's cheeks. Dean watched his baby brother grab a length of rope next, before he retied the leather shackles around Dean's hands behind his back and hog-tied him using the rope. Dean yelled at him, incoherent and frustrated at the new position, his body starting to ache almost immediately from how Sam had bound him. When Sam finished, he locked the metal ring around his ankle that would chain him to one of the support beams and kneeled down on the rough floorboards. Dean screamed at him when Sam then folded his hands behind his back and dipped his head down low in a submissive, subservient position, much as if he were a humanoid robot powering down for recharging.
You're so good for me, Sam. So obedient. All that muscle, all that strength is completely at my mercy. I didn't expect for you to be a little incestuous slut for your big brother, but that opens up a whole new layer of depravities we can engage in. Perhaps I should have you guys put on a show for me.
Dean yelled at the vamp to leave Sam the fuck alone, and that he'd kill him the second he was free, but it was all mumbled nonsense and he didn't stand a chance of getting loose. Sam was extremely capable of getting out of being tied up and gagged. Unfortunately for Dean, he was also just as good at doing the tying up. Dean checked for any knots he could reach with his fingers but found none, Sam having put them well out of his reach. He relaxed into the restraints, but was fed on once more,
which made him pass out and fall into a deep, dreamless sleep. When he woke, his neck hurt, his shoulders were screaming at him, and his legs were cramping up. It was absolute misery, and tears stung his eyes, dribbling down onto the bandana that was still gagging him. Unlike the vampire, Sam hadn't replaced it every 2 hours, and it was a disgusting, spit-soaked mess. He noticed Sam was still in the exact same position as before, and had never moved. Dean could see where tear streaks had dried on Sam's face, and the small drips and discoloration where they hit his kneeling thighs. Dean noticed the tension in his body, the clenched jaw on his downturned face, and knew Sam was in absolute agony. The light in the barn was a deep yellow and warm, just before sundown, if Dean had to take a guess. He tried again to free himself, but found nothing to grasp or even begin to remove his restraints with. Barring any other option, he started talking to Sam, told him to lie down, take a rest, and release him. He may as well not have spoken for the impact his words had. Sam didn't even acknowledge that he was talking, didn't look at him, just stayed exactly where the vampire had put him. Dean started screaming as loud as he could, his heart breaking, his mind dizzy with lack of blood and frustration at being so close to Sam, yet not being able to do a thing about it. A blur of motion, the nauseating smell of the undead, and with a cool, cruel touch the vampire was on him, Dean's head pushed down into the rough, dusty floorboards. A merciless hand in his short hair kept him there. "Shut your mouth, bloodbag. Your baby brother is doing exactly what I told him to do. He's being a good human slave. Or servant, if you wish. I do hope you'll come around to being my partner, Dean. My human confidant. You see, Sam here, he's human. I can command him to walk out of here and not stop walking. And he would do it until his feet are worn down to their very bones. And he'd still keep going. But you, you're something more, and I want to know what it is. If you don't feed me or let him rest anytime soon, you won't have anyone to find anything about, because we'll be too dead. You claim to remember humanity, and yet you forget the most basic needs. Leaving me and Sam like this all day? It's gonna get very smelly here soon. Remember, humans need to eat and piss. The vamp seemed shocked for a split second. Dean felt like he was in a Twilight Zone episode, where things just weren't quite right. Did the vamp actually feel guilty for forgetting to feed them? Of course, how could I forget? Sam, be a dear and help Dean relieve himself in that bucket over there. And do the same for yourself. You may stand up now and go about your chores. Without another word, the vampire was out the door. Residual sunlight didn't seem to harm him in the least, which just added another notch to the "we're screwed" table that Dean kept on writing in his mind. Sam regarded him with pragmatic, sad eyes. Still not really Sam, but Dean figured he was home watching it all happen from inside his mind, and that was even worse. He helped Dean with his business and did his own. He left Dean without being hogtied, obviously not having been told to tie him down again. Dean waited until Sam was back in his kneeling position. Watching him sink down to his knees made Dean wince in sympathy. They needed to get out of here, and fast. He levered himself into a half-standing position, holding it there because his head started spinning, and then fully stood up moments later. Standing in front of Sam, he held his bound wrists right at his face level. "Come on, Sammy. When do my wrists, or even better, my ankles? Need to be able to run so we can get out of here." Nothing happened. "Sam, you need to snap out of it." Dean's words were still muffled by the bandana gag that was a soggy mess, and Dean got an idea then. "I'm gonna get an infection in my mouth if you don't remove the bandana for a while. It's got dirt and dust all over it." Sam stood, rising with an impressive amount of grace, and took the gag off. Dean tried to keep him on his feet, but without his arms, he couldn't really grab Sam or keep him standing. "I'm leaving, Sammy. I'll come back for you, I promise. I'm going to go get help. Dean Hubble walked over to the door of the barn, which took an eternity, and nudged the door open, nearly falling over in the process, but finally managed to create enough of a gap. Sam, crying behind him on the dusty floor, stopped him before he set foot outside the door. Whimpers, wails, and a chorus of, "No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't want to kill you. I don't want to kill you," from Sam filled Dean's ears. "Sammy? Sam, fight it. You gotta fight it. You kept Lucifer himself from taking over, just to save me. You can beat this clown of a vampire. He's just an asshat bloodsucker who has a king for me. You gotta break through, Sam." Dean forgot to watch his back, too focused on Sam, and found himself thrown across the barn, landing in a heap right beside Sam. "Where do you think you're going? And you, why didn't you stop him, you imp?" The vampire dropped the brown food bags on the floor carelessly and pulled Sam up by his throat, lifting him clear off his feet. "You'll both pay for this, you especially." Sam struggled, held onto the vampire's arms, long legs flailing as his movements got weaker by the second from lack of air. "Your only value in this life from now on is to keep your brother from escaping me. As soon as you fail to fulfill that purpose, you're nothing but a useless meat sack to me, Sam." The vampire dropped him like a rag doll, Sam having passed out, and left him there before walking over to Dean and sitting him up against an empty barrel nearby. Dean watched him take a few deep breaths and pick up the food bags. "Open up, blood bag. You need to keep up your strength. I got some for your brother, too. But I've decided food is a privilege he hasn't earned yet." Dean wanted to bite the vampire, kick him, anything to hurt him for what he was doing to Sam, but knew his best plan was to regain his strength. He couldn't save his brother if he was incapacitated. The vampire hand-fed Dean morsel by delicious morsel of a cheeseburger and a perfectly cooked steak, all the while explaining that he needed as much iron as he could get. Dean tried to balk at eating the vegetables that he held up to his mouth next, but the vampire was very persuasive, outlining all sorts of torture he'd impose on Sam if Dean didn't eat his food. Sam did eventually get food the next day, and Dean was fed and fed on regularly. Piece by piece, Dean drew more and more information out of the vampire, hoping that something would eventually spark an idea. A way to either talk their way out of this or fight their way out of it. Sam continued acting. It helped Dean's sanity to call it acting, like a well-trained puppy, following the vampire's every command without hesitation. It was on the second day when Dean heard the vampire's name, Antoine Bart, and shortly thereafter, he finally got the piece of information they so desperately needed. "I finally got it. You smell like fairy. Your blood has that sweetness to it that only fae creatures carry in their blood. But then you are all human, like you told me on the first day, aren't you? So tell me, hunter, how is it that a rough, rugged hunter of alleged monsters like you tastes like this?" Dean didn't answer him, didn't want to. Not even Sam knew exactly what happened back then, and it would stay like that if Dean had any say in it. Hit a sore spot, didn't I? Perhaps I should ask Sam. He seems far more candid than you." "It's none of your or his business. If that's what you're after, then you truly don't need Sam. I was abducted by that son of a bitch Oberon all by myself, while he fucked a hippie. Sam barely even remembers that time." "Oh, the plot thickens. Tell me, Dean, how did that make you feel? Baby brother sowing his seed while you were in peril like that?"
"Fuck you."
"Maybe I will someday. But today isn't that day, little hunter." Antoine kissed Dean then and lifted up his shirt before biting down on his peck. He had taken to feeding from spots other than Dean's throat, with a particular preference for Dean's inner thigh, his ankle, and now his chest. Every spot was more sensitive than the last, as Dean groaned in pain, helpless to stop it. Antoine would usually fly off after feeding on Dean, admitting that he couldn't control himself around the scent of his blood. It was that habit that Dean planned to exploit. Sam was glamoured to protect Dean, but also to keep him here. He played up the hurt and pain, imploring Sam that he needed him to feel better, and that he had to help him by licking the wounds clean that Antoine had just left. Sam didn't hesitate, and held Dean tightly when he licked and sucked at the puncture wounds on Dean's chest before he applied a bandage to it. Fortunately, he wasn't gagged today, and Dean started talking to Sam. He began telling him what he wanted and needed him to do. At first, it didn't seem to have any effect, but every time from this point forward, he made Sam drink his blood under the guise of taking care of Dean. Another whole day passed like this, and Dean could tell that Sam was flagging, probably from lack of water. He felt guilty because amidst this whole nightmare, Sam's tongue and just Sam in between his legs, at his throat, or caressing his foot while he cleaned those wounds with his lips and tongue, made Dean's cock twitch. His body clearly was not bothered by the very wrong context and lack of consent on Sam's part. He focused on the plan at hand, though, and kept talking to Sam, kept feeding him his blood in the hope that that would break the glamour. On the fourth day, Antoine returned earlier than expected and mistook what was happening for a sexual thing. Aw, look at my pets trying to comfort each other with bodily pleasure. He watched as Sam sucked on a particularly deep wound on Dean's hip. Sam, his blood is not for you, little imp. He dragged Sam away by his hair, and Dean got a good look at his face while he did so. Sam winked at him, face bloody and messy, while he let Antoine put him back into the kneeling position he was supposed to be in. Dean acted up. Being exhausted, not much of an act at this point, and watched Sam hold his position perfectly. He hoped that this was working. It had been a while since Antoine reinforced Sam's programming, growing complacent with how obedient Sam had been. His heart dropped when he saw the vamp squat down before Sam and cradle his chin almost lovingly between thumb and forefinger. The whispers between Antoine and Sam were too quiet for Dean to make out. A spark of anger shot through Dean's gut as he watched the bloodsucker rub his thumb across Sam's lips to collect the residue of Dean's blood and lick it clean. Moments later, Sam was crawling toward Dean on all fours, his eyes hungry, focused, and full of lust. Dean scooted backward until his back hit the wall of the barn, his bound wrists up in front of him toward Sam off. Sammy, what are you doing? Giving you what you both so obviously want feels good, doesn't it, Dean? To give and take what you've wanted all these years. Go on, Sammy. Show your brother a good time. Antoine explained, with the superiority in his tone that made Dean want to punch him out for the millionth time. Sam didn't stop. And when he was close enough, Dean's hands tangled in his filthy gray shirt while Sam kissed him. Not an empty forced kiss, like Antoine's, but one that felt like it meant something. His large hands moved up to cradle Dean's face like it was the most precious thing in the world, and Dean wanted to believe. No, he needed to know that this was Sam, that his brother was doing this because he wanted Dean like this. His words from days ago, Sam having a crush on Dean, had seared themselves into Dean's brain through rumination, always there, always present. Sammy, please, not like this, Dean begged. Couldn't let this continue, because he felt like this unspoken thing they'd been dancing around for years was being sullied into existence by a vampire. He felt Sam nuzzle in against his cheek, layering a line of soft kisses to the tender skin behind his ear, which made Dean gasp. He felt Sam's thigh slide between his legs and couldn't help running against it just a little. Follow my lead. It's all me, Dean, Sam whispered, and Dean swiftly fell into his part. Those few words were all he needed to know that this was a ruse and that Sam had a plan. He let himself be laid out on his back before gentle palms ran along the length of his arms, before Sam pinned both of Dean's wrists in one hand above his head and leaned down to kiss Dean again. Sam's thigh was still against Dean's crotch. He was embarrassingly hard throughout, couldn't help it, half delirious still from not enough blood flowing through his veins, and inundated with everything Sam. His world zeroed in to his touch, scent, body heat. He kissed back when Sam found his lips again, willing it to have meaning, even if they never spoke of it again when they were out of this mess. He could feel Sam move against him, but didn't have a good look at what he was doing exactly, until suddenly the dull end of the axe Dean had stashed days ago was pressed hard against his throat.
"You can't have him. Antoine's mine. I want him to want me like he wants you."
Sam growled at Dean as he said it, looking feral and crazy, but Dean could feel that he wasn't putting all his strength into this. His hair had fallen forward, and he winked at Dean again.
"Sammy, please, you don't want to do this. I'm your brother," Dean pleaded, imagining it being real to make his performance credible.
Sam needed to be close to Antoine to use the axe, and they had exactly one shot at this. Dean understood Sam's plan now. As expected, Antoine flew at Sam and slammed him against the barn wall.
"What do you think you're doing, you miserable lump of human? I give you a treat and you try to harm him?"
While Antoine was busy choking the life out of Sam, Dean took aim with the axe, holding it in both hands, and swung it with all he had, aiming for the vampire's neck. The cut didn't go all the way, but he finished it when Antoine fell over and stared up at him with a betrayed look in his expressive golden brown eyes. Dean watched in satisfaction as the vampire's eyes glazed and went pale when Dean finished the job of severing his head from his body. He was running on adrenaline, giving him that push he needed to get it done, but as soon as he knew it was over, he dropped the axe a ways away and sat down.
"It's over, Dean. Hey, look at me. He's dead."
Dean looked up at Sam, willing him to repeat the words, but feeling ashamed for needing that, for needing Sam as much as he did.
"Dean, hey, look at me. We'll be fine. Let's get the hell out of here and torch this place on the way out, huh?"
Sam swiftly undid the buckles on Dean's restraints while looking back and forth between Dean's face and the restraints as if extremely worried by what he was seeing.
"I'm good. I'm okay. I can get up on my own."
Dean could tell that Sam didn't believe him, and when the restraints were gone, Sam held his lax hands for a moment. Dean wanted to warn Sam that he was gonna pass out, but never got to finish the words. He toppled forward into Sam's chest, and Sam caught him like he always would. Sam carried Dean out in a fireman's carry, looking like a soldier dirty from his time in the trenches, hauling his compatriot to safety, and in a way that's how it felt to him, too. When Dean woke, the sterile smell of the hospital hit his nostrils before anything else, and opening his eyes confirmed that he was indeed bedded up in a comfortable hospital bed. Sleeping next to him, on a visitor's chair that was far too small to hold his 6'5" frame, was Sam, with dark rings under his eyes, wrists looking thinner than they should.
"Sammy?"
Dean waited for a reaction and saw his brother move, wrists jumping and eyes popping open as he gasped awake, before finding Dean with his tired eyes and relaxing incrementally.
"Dean, you're awake. I was worried. They told me you'd be fine after the transfusion. I had to lie my head off to make this make sense somehow." "Bet you did. Did you let them look at you, too?"
"No, no need. Bruising on my knees and face will heal up in no time. Nothing that needs medical help to get better." Sam smiled, a tired, relieved expression.
"How did you know that would work?"
"What?" Dean drew a blank. He felt a lot better than at the barn. Downright peachy, actually. Only realizing now how weakened he'd been.
"Blood. Feeding me your blood. How'd you know that would work?"
"It was a thing Antoine said. He said I tasted like fairies. He had you brainwashed completely, so I tried the Hail Mary option."
"What did Oberon do to you?
Why would you smell like Faye to a vampire? Beats me. Don't really remember much of it. Dean lied, and hated himself for it the moment the words left his lips. But he didn't want to share. Not this. Sam regarded him with tired eyes. Dean felt like an open book. He could tell that Sam knew he was fibbing, but thankfully he didn't call him on it. The comment you made about Wichita, is that true? Dean asked in turn. Sam's face flashed with pain for a second, before he neutralized his features and looked at Dean, pensive and tense, clenching his jaw as if trying to come to a decision on how to word what he was going to say next. Every word of it. Sam gently cupped Dean's cheek and kissed him, unhurried, untethered, and full of all the longing, want, and need that he'd been keeping in since then. Dean felt it all. If you try to never talk about this again, I'm gonna hogtie you until you do, Sam joked, and Dean huffed out a weak laugh. I'll let you hogtie me any day. Seriously, Dean? You started it. Guess I did. Sam shrugged his shoulders and smiled at Dean. It was then that Dean knew they were going to be okay, more than okay. He pushed the button for the nurse. He was itching to get out of here, wanted to explore this thing that was now out in the open between them in the privacy of a motel room. While they waited, Sam settled in on the visitor's chair, now right up against Dean's bed, and rested his head and shoulders on the bed beside Dean's hip. He fell asleep again within a matter of seconds, while Dean watched over him and carted gentle fingers through his hair. The end.